Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, today I have on a special duo. I don't know that I've had a father-son duo on before, and today I have on Jeremy and Will Kubicek. They started a company called Six Summers, which is helping dads be intentional with their sons. It was so fun to have them both on because we talked about how to have a strong relationship with your dad, what are the things that you need to talk about with your son while they're in your house, what are the skills they need to learn. It was awesome. So if you are a dad, or even if you're a mom, listening to this episode will give you so many incredible words of advice, and especially coming from a son. That was really fun. You know, we hear a lot from parents and their advice, but it was fun getting the son's perspective. So please join me as I welcome Will and Jeremy Kubicek. Hey everyone, thanks for being a part of Be Love, Do Good Podcast. This is the first time that I've had a father-son duo on. So many of you have heard my guest Jeremy before, and now we have a special guest, his son, because I think it's so important that we have these conversations of what do father-son relationships look like and what can they be. And so thank you guys for both being on here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So fun. Thank you.
It is so fun. I love – so Will, I want to talk to you. We already talked to your dad, so I want to talk to you a little bit. Tell me how old you are. Since it's on a podcast, people can't see you, but how old you are, just a little bit about what you're doing now, and maybe just like a snippet of kind of you and your dad's relationship. It could be like in a word or a phrase of kind of how you – what that looks like to you.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I'm Will Kubicek. I'm 22 years old. I graduated from the University of Oklahoma in May of 2022.
We love Boomer Sooner.
Oh, Boomer Sooner. And yeah, graduated with a business degree and I ran track there. Oh, cool. And so finished up there and then started Six Summers kind of during that period, but officially when I graduated. Awesome. And so it really, Six Summers is a culmination of what my dad did with me growing up. And so a word or phrase I would choose to describe our relationship was intentional and purposeful. Mm-hmm. I would say it wasn't on accident. I didn't realize that growing up, but I think just as I've gotten older and kind of seen what he does and what he's done in my life, it's very purposeful and planned. And so really taking out the kind of stigma of dads being just workaholics or there, not being part of their kid's life. I think during a certain period of time as I was growing up, he became purposeful in really raising me up to launch well. And so that's what the heart of Six Summers truly is. And I know we'll talk about that more, but that's how I would describe our relationship and, you know, really being best friends in a purposeful and meaningful way.
I love it. I bet it's fun for you to hear, Jeremy. You're like, I didn't pay him to say that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to hold back tears because it's so fun, you know, at his age, my age, just the privilege of getting to partner together. And Will came to me with the idea of like, hey, what if we packaged what you did with me and helped other dads? And I'm like, yes, who says we can't, you know? And early on, we kind of trained our kids to be, do you want to be a job creator or have a job? Mm-hmm. So you had to have a job. You had to have a company at age of 15. And so what's so fun about that is to fast forward from 15 to 22, and this is a legit company. I'm not saying your auto detailing wasn't legit. This is a legit company, and it's just fun to be able to do it together.
So tell me, I want to back up just a little bit, Will, brothers and sisters. So tell me, like, what's the dynamic in the family?
Yeah, so I'm stuck in the middle of two girls.
Okay.
both 2 years apart, so 24, almost 25, and 20. And so we're just, I mean, they're my sisters. You know, they're great. I mean, he did the exact same thing with them in a different way, because there is a different way to tailor it to girls. But I would say our relationship now is better than it ever has been, as it's kind of grown and multiplied through the influence of our parents. But I mean, I love them to death, and they're off doing their own things in a really an entrepreneurial way as well, in different fields.
I love it. So you guys come from an entrepreneurial family, obviously. Jeremy, you started your business, and it's taken off. So tell me a little bit, when you first had Will, so this is your first son, what were kind of some of the thoughts in your mind of like, okay, this is how I'm going to parent my son, and how have those changed over the years?
Well, I think it was really traditional growing up, like, hey, I'm going to be a good dad. We want him to have good friends and good, you know. And then right around, I don't know, Will was probably 10. I was living in Atlanta. I'd bought John Maxwell's companies. We were running the Catalyst conferences, LeaderCast. It was really, really busy. And I just was challenged with I was overproductive and underpresent. And I was realizing I'm not losing my family, but I could lose my family if I continued that route. So I really started working on being present and productive.
How old was he when you made that decision?
Yeah, probably 10.
Did you see the switch at all, Will? Did you notice it?
Yeah, I talk about it quite a bit. I mean, the way I would explain it is, you know, me dribbling the basketball and outside of his car while he's on the phone, or going on a business trip and not realizing where he went, you know. And so it was like there was a shift to where it's like, oh, wow, he's around a lot more. Oh, he's not on the phone. He can play right off the bat. And so there was a massive switch in that.
And this just, I mean, I think of my own family and all the different fathers that we have who are successful, and you were successful in business and doing all these things. What was it for you, Jeremy, that made you go, oh, this doesn't feel right, and this is not the way that I want to keep going?
It was a conversation with my bride.
It's shocking. That's very shocking.
It was, hey, where do you go? You're here, but you're not here. And so that caused me to kind of jolt, you know, and my immediate reaction was a beautiful one. It was, do you know what I'm doing? Do you even know what a dumb comment I made? So I actually had to kind of back up and go, you know what, let me rethink this. And so I started a journey to learn how to be present. In fact, and you know, no surprise, but I wrote a book on this called The Five Gears. So the five gears is, I created a sign language that we started using as a family to know what gear you should be in, because I realized it was like a life hack. So I created these gears to learn how to shift from a high work gear, fourth and fifth gear, into a social gear. And it was like training myself. So then when I would come home at night, I stopped going to my house with the phone. Instead, I would pick a trigger point, a marker, 2-3 miles from home. When I got to that marker, I would get off the phone and I would start transitioning my mind to shift to a different gear. So what are we doing tonight? I remember that happening when Will was going to football practice, and I had like a Ford Raptor, and it was like a cool truck, and we would drive the truck to football. Well, I would get off the phone at the Quick Trip, and I'd have about 3 to 4 minutes to think about, what do I want to talk intentionally to Will about tonight? And I shifted from an accidental dad to an intentional dad, because I created buffer room to think about it. And then when I got home, I left my phone in the car. I didn't take it inside with me. And then I wouldn't go get it until 8:30, after they were asleep, you know. Unless we had football practice or whatever, I might check a message if he's at practice. But still, it was just a relearning of how to be present, because there's a right and wrong time for everything.
I'm guessing that wasn't an overnight shift for you.
No, it's been a whole process. I mean, it took me probably 2010, 11, 10, maybe to 2013. And then I wrote the book in 2015. Because I had done it and taught it enough to enough people, because it's a system to think differently.
Yeah, that's good. I think about that myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, when I'm picking up my kids, like I'm in the middle of a work call, or middle of I mean, it's only 30 minutes that I really just need to shut it down and be present. So I love that. Will, when you think about kind of growing up, what were some of the moments, maybe ages, that you feel like you really needed your dad to be present? I mean, obviously all through, you know, your life, you need your dad to be present. But what were some of those maybe ages or moments when you were like, oh yeah, those were some things I really remember?
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of it was we would do these trips, and that was really where I feel like I learned the best through experiences. And so some of those were like kind of rite of passage trips. So like at 10, we went on one, and then 16, 18. But in like just life, I would say those transitional moments. So going, we moved to England, and that was a big shift where I think our relationship was really lifted up, because it was like, you know, I had like one friend. And so we got really close. And then even going into like, you know, in Six Summers, we talk about launching your kids well. And a huge part was at 18, whenever I'm going off to college. In college, I think our relationship got way more deep, and it turns from, you know, really a father to a friend, still being a father, but, you know, and so really leaning on him in those times of like uncertainty, but also figuring out life on your own in a semi-sheltered way. But I think those monumental moments of change are where you either get to lean back on that dad that supported you, or try to lean back on a dad that doesn't know how to support you.
What did support look like for you, Will? Like, what does that mean? When you say support, like, what did that look like in your relationship?
Yeah, so I would say support. So one of the tools that he uses is the support challenge matrix. And it's really having equal amounts of support and challenge, so you can liberate those around you rather than dominate or protect and abdicate. But I would say I challenge myself a lot. So I tend to be a lot harder on myself. And so support is really important, because I have a harder, or I'm getting better at it every day, but I had a harder time supporting myself in every aspect, whether that's in sports, academics, that detailing job I started. And so support really was affirmation, but also challenge in a way that was kind of raising up.
Some of it was even, I would tell him to relax at times. Like a lot of times he was so dedicated, he was a decathlete. And, you know, he was a star football player, then goes and is a decathlete. So he's unbelievably competitive and would just do the grind and the work. And then sometimes I'm like, hey, dude, have you had any fun this week? Have you done any pranks on anyone? Yeah. Like, it was the opposite of a lot of people, because, again, when you know your kids, you can lead them. And so I think that point is really well made. High support, high challenge. Some of your kids need more support. Some of your kids need more challenge. And it kind of, you need to know when to situationally apply that. Mm-hmm.
I have one of you, Will. I remember yesterday she had a little competition that she had to do for gymnastics, and you know, she's just, and I said, just be kind to yourself. Like, be kind to yourself. If you don't get exactly what you want, it's just practice. You got plenty of months to, you know, to dig in. Like, just be kind to yourself. And she just gives me, you know, the thumbs up, like, I got it, Mom. I will. But it is interesting. So Jeremy, what's your personality and Will's like? Are you guys, it seems like you're probably more similar, or you're not similar. Are you different? Completely opposite. Okay, tell me how, I think for a lot of dads, they have sons who are completely opposite. How do you parent? How do you parent a kid who is opposite of you?
It's important to identify it. And so we were having issues, because back in the day, it's like Myers-Briggs, DISC, there's Enneagram. Those are good, but they don't scale, and they're too complicated for a 13-year-old, 14, 15, 16. So the language is too hard. So we created a system, Steve Cockrum and I, called the Five Voices. The Five Voices is a system where you can learn the personality of a person so much easier. And so with that, we then, we basically had Will, he's a guardian nurturer. So he would be, a guardian pioneer. He would be like a ESTJ in Myers-Briggs, and I'm an ENFP. We're opposites. I'm a connector, he's a guardian. Mm-hmm. So he values logic, order, black and white, systems, process. So it's A, then B, then C. And I'm more spontaneous. let's dream and plan and think and go. And he likes to go too. He's spontaneous. But the difference between those is I could be very provisional and he could be very promise. So I think in the early days, like, it's probably he saw me breaking a lot of promises, where he saw me, like, I would say something provisional, then in his mind, we're doing it. And I'm like, no, I'm just talking out loud.
Yeah.
And then, so therefore it's like, well, you're lying. And so we had a lot of those kind of moments where we had to learn each other's, you know, because Will could be really intense. And I can too, under stress. But so I think that was a key part. What would you add to that?
Yeah, no, I would say just the day-to-day conversations, like knowing your personality and being able to really communicate to that on both levels, yourself and your kid or spouse even, is just a game changer. Because he can say now, like, it's been, even while we've been working together, it's like, hey, provisional thought for you. And I instantly go, okay, yeah. So it's just a lot easier to manage.
And that's what we've done, is we basically created common language. Because part of the issue with dads and parents to their kids is subjectivity. It's like, you need to step it up. You need to clean. Why can't you? And all that sounds like nagging. Mm-hmm. So we tried to eliminate nagging and give, like, objective, you know, common language. Like, hey, dude, you know I'm for you, right? Well, I'm going to bring a little challenge. You know, I feel like I'm giving you support. Do you feel that? But so now that's language to have difficult conversations. Or like provisional, plan, promise. Hey, this is provisional. Just thinking it could go to plan. The plan could change. Promise over my dead body, we're doing it. Mm. So now he knows to trust me because of that language.
Yeah.
So that's just a couple of the tools.
Well, and I think what you just said about knowing your kids. And so I think, would you say, if someone's listening right now, I'm like, I think I know my kid, but I don't really know my kid. And so we're having this, you know, tension because I'm saying this and he's not listening because he can't really hear it, and, you know, in the way that he is best communicated with. What are the ways, you know, what would you suggest for them to get to know their kid more? A test, or five voices?
Absolutely. So it's, you can intuitively know your kids, mm-hmm. but then when you dive in deeper, then you also know who you are. It's important to know who you are as much as you know your kids.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've created, like, the strengths and weaknesses and challenges, but then we've also have the weapons. So under stress, what's your weapon you tend to use? Well, so I have a creative daughter, her weapon is the Hulk. And when pushed, then she'll Hulk out. And he's been on the other end of that. He's one of the reasons for her Hulk. Yeah, yeah. And then our youngest, she's a nurturer. Well, nurturers withhold care. They take care of people and they always want to, but then under pressure, they'll pull back and withhold care from people. Well, Will's weapon is interrogation, but he also is a guardian pioneer. It's also a grenade launcher. So he can interrogate people and then blow them up under stress. So you start laughing at that because you know it's true. Like, I'm a cyber warfare specialist. Under pressure, I can slander people and they don't even know it. So it's like, those are our stress points. And then my wife is a guardian too, but she's a guardian nurturer and he's a guardian pioneer. The little difference is there.
Yeah.
But they get along really well. They work really well together. It's harder for me and him historically to work well together, but we've now figured it out. And we value each other now.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important to have this, that we've got to have, parents need to know the depths of their kids.
And the depths of themselves. I mean, I think that's the big thing too, is like, I think we have to know who we are. So, you know, I took a test the other day, I had this guy on and he was like, are you a coach or a critiquer of your kids? And I'm like, I'm a for sure coach. Like, that's my background. That's what I do. I love coaching. And I took this test and it was like, you are a critiquer of your kid. Like, all you do is criticize. And I'm like, ah. So I had to have this conversation with Holden. I'm like, bud, I was like, do you feel like I am just, like, controlling? He's like, I do. And I was like, okay. I mean, just having even those frank conversations, do you feel, Will, like, there was a time when you were old enough to understand that, like, when your dad maybe said something that hurt your feelings, or maybe he was always saying for you to do something, did you ever feel like you could have those real conversations, not really a pushback, but just like, hey, dad, from my perspective, this is what it looks like. Tell me about that. Tell me about communication.
Yeah, no, I think there was definitely, it's because of the way they raised us, it was always an open book. I mean, I feel like I probably sometimes did talk back or, you know, typical kid stuff, but I think they opened up the floor for us to have like adult conversations and actually ask questions and communicate on that level. And then, you know, the other way around, I could tend to be more blunt and maybe hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't a really, I guess, a reaction of discipline, but rather a conversation to acknowledge that and grow from it.
So I'll share real quick, Will, about Basecamp and what we're done for the five voices and all those pieces. So
with this five voices, within the Six Summers platform, whenever you sign up and join, you enter Basecamp. And so this is the start of your climb towards intentional parenting. And it's diving deep and getting yourself, like a dad, healthy on every level. Mm-hmm. So the five voices, but also knowing how you communicate, knowing your kind of story and how that leads into your decisions and actions with your kids. Mm-hmm. And so then you go in and do it with your spouse. So it's a little different, but learning how your parenting styles affect your kids, but also your influence and how to better communicate. And then lastly, you do it with each of your kids. And so you're going through this intensive over a period of time with yourself, your spouse, and your kids to get you healthy mentally, spiritually, physically, in every aspect, and then dive in and build your year or summer, as we call it.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about the six summers. I know you kind of have it in six different things. You talk about conversations that you should have with your kids, different skills. So tell me a little bit about that. I want to just kind of dive into just those different pieces.
Yeah. So this is really just a more robust process of what he did with me. And it focuses on, like you said, the conversations to have, everything from how to love mom well to managing your friends and a bunch of other conversations, you know, skills, from social skills. You know, we've had on a few of our trips, you know, learning how to have a conversation with an adult. That's something that kids my age at graduating college still can have a hard time doing. And, you know, experiences like one-on-one camping, a concert swap. And so there's a bunch of these different resources that allow you to dive deeper with your kids on an intentional level, but teaching dads what to do and how to do it.
I think that's the key, is that most dads don't know what to do, and they want to, they don't know what and how to do it. So we just literally have just been taking our unconscious competence and packaging it to go, okay, dads, here we go. Start your summer now. Here's the two conversations you're going to have this summer. And then they pick it, and then they can either watch the video and listen to Will or me or both of us talk to them and their kids, or they can do it themselves. Or like how the trip, the experiences to take, then we show them how we did our family trips. We were very intentional. It wasn't just have a great experience. You do one-to-ones during family trip. So Will meets with his sister, Will meets with me, Will meets with mom, and you rotate that through the entire trip while you're having these fun adventures and experiences. And we teach them how to do celebration dinners and all these different rites of passages. And then the great part is the 16 to 18 year old track. When he was 16, he had a 2-year plan that I built that was, here's the EQ, IQ, spiritual, emotional, you know, all the things that we need you to learn from. What meals? There's 10 meals you have to make before you leave, and you have to prove that you know how to do it.
Like real meals, like that you're making. Okay.
To survive. Budget. How to buy a car. Mm. All the fundamentals and basics, sure, to how to hear from God, mm-hmm, how to actual pray, how to connect to, how to have mentors. And then they have to go meet with people. And so it was a 2-year process that goes. So if you're listening to this, you're like, that sounds like a lot. You actually can choose. You can do one thing this summer. That's it. But it's the intentional process of getting you to think completely different, mm-hmm, about your kids, that you are a disciple maker. You're an apprentice to your kids. And we're giving you the tools to help do that, what I did with mine.
Will, what are some of the, like, what would some of be the advice that you would give dads right now who wanted to connect with their kids? Like, if they heard all this and maybe this felt overwhelming at first, and they were just like, man, I don't really have a great relationship with my kid. I don't really know him. All I feel like I do is tell him what to do, and he either does it or he doesn't do it. How can we give some encouragement to dads who might be like, I don't even know how to connect with my kid? What are some of the things that your dad did, or maybe that you wished he did earlier, to help connect with you?
Yeah. First of all, I would say, like, the biggest thing that we've seen is, like, father guilt. It's like, oh, it's too late. Oh, my kid's 15. They're pretty much gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're 18. They're already gone. It's never too late to start to be intentional. You know, it's like with the Six Summers platform and kind of community that we're building, it's like we're raising up dads to be those intentional fathers that we know they can be. You know, it's not an easy process, but I would say it's essential for life. You know, this is just the beginning of life. You launch your kids at 18, but they still have a lot of life to live, and so do you. And so you really, I'd say it's never too late to start to be intentional, but you have to start. Mm-hmm. And so some things that we did was just conversations. And so within the Six Summers platform, we give those conversations, but also the challenge of how to do this well and better, and then allowing you to innovate. You know, it's like we're partnering with dads to raise up their kids well, and really giving them the resources and everything they need to do that. I would say with my dad, I mean, it was probably a lot simpler in my mind, but now that I look back at it, it was just being there for me at every stage of life and supporting me in everything I do. So, you know, figuring out my major in college, figuring out, oh, I'm going to go run, you know, competitively at a D1 level. And he was right there next to me as, you know, our family. I was the black sheep of the family going to the opposite side of the OU.
He went to OU. We were Oklahoma State fans.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. That is, yeah, that's a house divided right there.
And now I work with OU football.
Yeah. There you go. But really, I think it was him learning how to increase his influence with me. And that led to more confidence in our relationship, but also my life going forward, because I knew I had a super fan standing behind me there to support me the whole way.
And I think that's a great point, because I think I got to the point where I could have gone, Will makes me mad. He doesn't, when it was really a personality. So I had to humble myself to go, wait, what can I learn? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is who I am. Huh, I bet I wear him out. And so then humbling myself to then figure out who he was, it was like solving a puzzle. And once we solved it, they're like, oh, okay, now I'm going to speak his language.
Yeah.
That was so fun. It, like, I think it unlocked both of us.
Yeah.
But it wasn't overnight. It like happened over years.
Yeah. Just continuing to have those conversations and saying you're sorry when you mess up and when you hurt each other's feelings and those kind of things. Tell me, just as we kind of wrap up, your faith journey, Will, like, how was that? I think a lot of times parents feel this certain pressure if you live in a Christian home to help your kids, you know, love Jesus. But at the same time, sometimes we push too hard, or we don't really know how to do that in the way that may best serve them. So can you tell me a little bit about that and how your dad helped you with that?
Yeah, I mean, what comes to mind at first was like really just imitation of what it looks like to be a healthy follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. Growing up, we would have house church at our house, and it was normal for me growing up because that's all I knew. But looking back at it now, it was like surrounded by people from all around the city, but also the world, and really meeting those people who loved the Lord in a different way than your parents. And so I'd say exposing, as a parent, you know, I wouldn't say shelter your kids in a Christian way, but really expose them to the world in a faithful way that allows them to not be shocked whenever they leave the house.
Yeah, so he just got back last night from Europe. He just went on a 10-day trip, and I asked him, what was your highlight? And tell her your answer. What you told me? Because you went to Barcelona, Vienna, and Amsterdam.
Yeah, it was eye-opening, because the world is so much more broken than you see here in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just, we were in different parts of the city, and it was a great experience culturally, but also it hurt because it was like, wow, you know, there's so much brokenness. Some of the terrible things we saw, it just hurt my heart. And I was like, man, I'm thankful for the place we live in America, but here I feel like it's hidden. And
but he just was like, they don't have Jesus. Like, I can see it. And it wasn't just all the people, but it was just where he was, you know.
Sure. Well, I love this conversation. I feel like I could ask you 1 million questions just for, you know, my own son and figuring out him and wanting to be. I think all of us as parents, everyone listening, wants to be the best for their kids. I think we have sometimes that guilt that we haven't done it well, or maybe we have that tension of, you know, this where we feel a little bit like we don't understand our kid because maybe they're a different personality. And so we don't know what to do and where to go. And so I just appreciate you guys for making a tool. So tell listeners, practically speaking, how they can get this tool. Like, what is their next steps?
Yeah. If you go to sixsummers.com, it gives a full kind of really look at what the Six Summers program offers and what is to come with a community aspect, but also the really fun trips that are planned out for dads and families going forward. And so if you want to sign up, it's sixsummers.com.
It's really inexpensive. We try to make it that way. It's an annual membership, and we basically are trying to partner with dads ages 13 to 18 of their kids. However, we have a lot of people who are like, can I start this earlier? Like, absolutely. It's smart. Mm-hmm. If your kids are 9, 10, go for it, because it just gives you a head start of how to plan and think about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you guys so much for making this. Thanks for just being, just giving me your time today and helping families really understand how to be present. I think one of the takeaways that I have, just even for my own personal, is just to be present is to, one of the things, Jeremy, you told me last time we talked is kind of like 20 minutes before, and I don't remember how, I only have like a 5-minute drive home, but on my drive home, just kind of shut everything down, what I'm grateful for, like looking at the day tomorrow, and just kind of putting that all aside so that when I do come home that I am present. Because I truly, as a mom who, you know, works in kind of a high pressure job, I love work, but I love my kids, and I want them to be proud of what I do. But I never want them to feel like that takes me away from them. And I think the same thing for my husband, who owns his own business. Like, we can be busy, but our family is most important. And so thanks for helping us understand why it is so important. Even it's just 30 minutes to just shut everything down and just look in our kids' eyeballs. I used to say I would always just have a time where I would just look in my kids' eyes, like literally in their eyes for like, you know, 5 seconds to ask them. Because how many times am I doing a million different things while I'm asking them a question? You know, I'm on the phone, I'm cooking dinner, I'm, you know, doing something else, but just to really be present. So thanks for reminding us of that. And then for all the other tools that you guys have, we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Christy. Yeah, appreciate you. Cheers.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my conversation with Jeremy and Will Kubicek. Make sure you check out their website, sixsummers.com, to see how you can be intentional with your son. Thanks so much for spending your time with us today and being love and doing good in your community. See you next week. Don't want